So funny, mister. Alrighty, amen. Our message tonight is a unique one. It's one that I have read these scriptures, I couldn't even tell you how many hundreds and hundreds of times, and never caught it. Never dawned on me. And it's four verses. But it's a story that is so important and says so much about our Lord and Savior. The word tonight is on the fish with the coin. It's a story out of Matthew. And the Lord led me to it because I asked God to show me things in the Word that I may have overlooked or that I might not have noticed. But He brought me to this story. And I don't think I've ever heard these verses preached. I don't remember ever being taught this story. It's a huge one, though. I mean, for four verses, it has such a huge meaning. The verses are in Matthew, chapter 17. Starting at verse 24, the word says, "And when they were come into Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute?" 25 says, "He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then the children are free." Verse 27 says, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened the mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take that and give it unto them for me and thee." This is a story about paying taxes. Now, funny that this story comes when Aaron says he just did his taxes. I did my taxes on January 22nd, but I mail mine in because I like it to be a surprise when I'm getting it. Because God brings it when I need it most. This story is about paying taxes. Now, it has these four verses, when you stop and think about it, there's a lot there. There's a lot there within these four verses, within this story. Okay? It says that when Christ went into Capernaum, they that received the tribute money came to Peter. So that would be the tax collectors, those that received the money. They came to Peter and they said to him, "Does not your master pay a tribute?" Which the tribute would be the taxes. He said, "Yes." Well, Peter knew that Christ didn't pay the taxes, but he still said yes. Even when we know we're not supposed to lie, we still do. So when he went to go in the house, Jesus stopped him. He prevented him, right? He stopped him from going in, and he asked Simon Peter, a question. When the tax collectors collect money for the taxes, who do they collect it from? Do they collect it from strangers, or do they collect it from their children? And Peter answered him and said, they collect it from strangers. Do you make your own kids pay tax? You know, or would you make your own children pay? You know, Aaron's nodding his head, yes. Bad, bad, bad. But the children are free. You see Christ's dilemma here. If he is truly the Son of God, he shouldn't need to pay his taxes because he's the Son of God. Taxes, all tax money eventually goes to the Lord, right? It's all the Lord's money. So those three verses first line up the first part of this dilemma. Christ, should he pay taxes or should he not? He's the Son of God. He's a child of God. Do children pay taxes to their father? Generally, no, unless you live in Aaron's house. But the other thing is in verse 27, Christ knew that he needed to fulfill the laws of men to fulfill the laws of these men, for they were going to judge him accordingly if they didn't, if he didn't. Well, Christ didn't have any money. He didn't need it. God provided all that he needed. So he told Peter to go to the sea, cast it in your line, in your fishing line, pull out the first fish that you catch, and the first fish that you catch is going to have a coin in its mouth. It's going to have money in its mouth. And the amount of money that's in that fish's mouth is going to be the exact amount that they need to pay Peter and Christ's taxes. Christ told you to go to the river and cast a line and pull out the first fish you caught, and the first fish you caught is going to have money in it. What would you think? Ethan? That's how much faith Peter had. To do what Christ tells you to do and to trust that what he says to you is going to be a spot on dead right, no doubt. What do you think would have happened if he threw out his net, caught a fish, and pulled it in? There was no coin. Threw out his line, reeled in a fish, there was no coin. And he kept doing that. What do you think that would have done to Peter's faith? What's that, Beth? He'd lose his faith, right? He wouldn't trust Christ. But because he trusted him, believed in him, wanted to please him or obey him, he went to the water, threw in the line, and pulled out the first fish. Now, that is a statement of faith. To know that you receive guidance and direction from God, that you go and do what he tells you to do, and you receive what he tells you that you will receive. Not only is that a huge blessing, but that is a huge statement of faith. It requires trust in the Lord. Now let's go back. Let's talk about these taxes. The Jewish leaders were constantly looking for ways to accuse Jesus. They were constantly looking for ways to put him in jail. They were looking for him to break the law in any way that they could so that they could prove that he wasn't who he said he was. They were jealous of his popularity, and they were afraid that they would lose their power and their status, their power that they had over the people. These Jewish religious leaders, they wanted to be in control. They didn't want to have a relationship with God. They just wanted power and money. They wanted status. They preferred the praise of men over their personal relationship with God. They put themselves on a pedestal, made them up like the Lord, like a God, small g, not big G. And put themselves before the Lord. When the officials in Capernaum asked Peter if Jesus paid the temple tax, Peter immediately said he did. Did you ever lie about something without thinking about it? Were you just not anything that's deliberate? Somebody asks you a question, and you're like, no, and you keep going without even thinking. It comes out of your mouth, and afterwards you go, why did I do that? That happened to you today. That shows you that our nature is a sinful one. It's hard to avoid. We talked about this before. Paul says that the desire within me to do good is there, but yet I fight flesh and principalities, and I end up that which I would like to do, which is the good, I don't do. I do the bad without even thinking about it. But when Jesus confronted Peter, the question that he asked Peter about This was a defining moment in Christ's ministry. Think about it a minute. If Jesus was the Son of God, he would be exempt from taxes. He'd have no reason to pay him if he was truly the Son of God. There'd be no reason for him to pay him. But if, in order to not offend anybody, he sent Peter on a strange fishing trip to retrieve that temple tax for both him and Peter, to cover both of their taxes. It was a defining moment in Christ's ministry. Part of a double-edged sword or a two-sided coin that was very difficult, I'm sure, in Christ's life to have to deal with things. Just as Paul said, the desire to do good is within me. Can you imagine? Here is Christ. You got all these people around you saying, yeah, right. You're the Son of God. How can you be the Son of God and be a son of man? How many doubters and scoffers and people that mocked him were there? There had to be many. I'm sure it was a hard thing for him. We think that our lives is a hard walk. Ever put yourself in Christ, in Jesus' shoes? First of all, he didn't wear shoes, he wore sandals. They didn't have winter over there. They don't have winter over there. Well, they do, but not like snow like we have. There was a lot of doubters back then. There was a lot of people that did not believe who he was. So this is really important. Christ is teaching people and his disciples that he is the Son of God. But, and I'm sure that they all knew that because he was the Son of God, he really didn't owe the taxes. But there's no way he could get around it. It's bad enough he ended up going to the cross. He just wasn't ready to get there yet. Wasn't time. But when Jesus told Peter what to do, Peter immediately acted on Christ's words. He didn't doubt. He didn't question. He didn't say, are you sure? Or one fish, the first fish, not the second or the third. He didn't doubt him. He didn't question him. Christ's words, the words that he spoke, the faith of Peter, and the fact that Peter believed in what Christ said, started wheels in motion. But you got to figure, God's up there saying, okay, he's just commanded it, and I have to make it happen. Because he had to prove who he said he was, and that he would do things that he could do, that he said he could do. God had to make everything happen just as Christ said it would happen. Not that that's impossible for God. But only God would have known where in the Sea of Galilee was a coin. Only God could have commanded the fish to go get it and to deliver it to Peter. God supplied Peter's needs just as he supplies our needs. You see where I'm going with this? Our faith is tested and tried. How many times in your life does God tell you to do something, or does Christ, the Lord, you know, God, tell you to do something and you immediately do it? As a show of faith, trusting in him. How many times do you not do it and find out you should have? Amen. When it's perfect and it's of God's will and you do it, does your faith not increase? You receive that double portion. God supplies our needs exactly when we need them. He supplies, just as he supplied this fish with this coin to Peter to pay the taxes, he supplies our needs as well. He's waiting. God is waiting for us to have the same amount of faith. to believe and to trust in him and to believe that the things that he says that he will do in our life, he will do. Now, the bad thing about that, or I shouldn't say bad, because nothing of the Lord is bad and everything comes in his perfect time. But the hard part about it is, the most difficult part of this is the waiting. Isn't there a song? Who sings it? The waiting is the hardest part. Who sings it? Come on, Beth. Yeah, who sings it? Sure isn't just a secular song. I can picture the guy. Tom Petty. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. He sings it. Waiting is the hardest part. God will deliver everything, all of our needs. He will answer every single one of our prayers, give us what we needed the exact time that we needed. We just have to trust in him. We have to trust that he will do what he says he's going to do because what? Because God is faithful. He is faithful to those that are faithful to him. Now, do you really think that it was a miracle that that fish had the coin in its mouth? Yes, no? Do you think it was a miracle that that fish had a coin in his mouth? Do you think that it was a miracle that the first fish had the coin in his mouth? Like I said earlier, what would have happened had Peter been there all day long, casting out his line and reeling it in? He didn't argue. Peter didn't argue. He didn't doubt it. He believed what Jesus told him, and he went, and it was done. Father knows best, right? Trust in those that have the wisdom and understanding. That's the best thing I can tell you. But when we, too, have the confidence that we need to trust in God's promises, we can accept that what God has promised is true. It's going to come true. When we trust in God and the promises that he gives us, the things that he tells us, when we trust in that, we know that it's true. We don't doubt it. We just need to believe it. Believe that he can and he will supply all of our needs. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't believe God will supply your every need? Not a one. Good. Amen. The hard part is when. Because remember, as we talked about on Sunday, we are about here and now. Fast food, fast cars, fast service. Buying things on the internet, getting it in a day. Going to the store, getting it now. Don't have the money? Oh, use a credit card. There's a lot of people that don't even save money for what they need. We want things now. But I tell you what, God has a way of saying nope. Not until I'm ready to give it to you. And the glory does roll when God gives you exactly what you need, exactly when you need it. Your rope, and you just don't think that that answer is going to come. You don't think that you're going to receive what God has told you that you will. You start to doubt. How many fish do you think Peter would have pulled out of that sea that didn't have a coin in his mouth before he would have gave up on Christ if it wasn't the first? Ethan? 100? Exactly. Because you would have said, he said it's true. It's got to be here somewhere. Would you not have kept trying? But to say it's got to be here is a little bit different than saying, here it is. Don't you agree? To say it's going to be the next one is a little bit different than saying, this is it. This is it. This is the phone call I was waiting for. This is the check I was waiting for. This is it. This is what God wanted me to receive right when I need it, when I thought all hope was lost. Right in the nick of time, here he comes to bail me out again. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Because God is never late. He sees to our needs. We just have to have faith and trust in him. And I tell you what, when I read these four verses and I read this story, I thought, wow. Four verses that can show you so much. Defines Christ's ministry, how he had to withstand, and is a testament to Peter's faith. Is a testament to what you can receive when you have faith, when you trust in God. When you trust in him to deliver what you need at the exact time you need it. Amen? It sounds so simple. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? The only explanation I can give you is because of our impatience. But if you remain faithful, and you keep hope, and you keep trust, and you keep your faith, God never disappoints. Never will disappoint you. Hold tight to the things that you've surrendered to the Lord. Well, you've surrendered them to him, but don't, what I'm saying is, don't give up hope. Don't give up your faith. Don't give up your trust, and don't place it somewhere else. He's faithful. You need to remain faithful also. Even though the spirits will try to knock you down and pull you out of that will, stay strong. Draw close unto the Lord, and he will draw close unto you. I encourage you to study the Word of God. Just as I have many times, I've read these verses in Matthew. It never stuck out to me. But God is faithful and gives us what we need exactly when we need it, including his word, that it is written within our hearts to encourage us and to know that we're not the first people that doubted. Yes, Aaron, you're not the first person that's ever doubted. There were others, many others before us, but they received just as we do as well. Amen. I hope these words have encouraged you. I encourage you to read Matthew chapter 17, verses 24 through 27, and allow it to touch your heart and see how it moves in your life. But we know that God is faithful, and we can have the confidence in God's promises. Amen. Does anybody have anything to add or any questions? Alrighty, if all hearts and minds are clear, we can stand.